Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is February 26, 2015. With Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you get the machine, please leave your prayer request and or message. Leave your name, your number. Again, prayer request or message, whatever it is, leave it there. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates for the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Of course, you got to put the www things in, but if you Google prophecyhour.com, you're going to pull it up. Anyway, our program archives can be found over there at prophecyhour.com, as well as what we call End Time Radio Archives. If you scroll down on the right-hand side of prophecyhour.com, you'll see a little box with an angel standing over the world, and it says End Time Radio Archives. And you click that box, and it will take you to Program Archives, which has Android app and iPhone app, whatever. And it's really smartphone friendly, because I do hear that at least 50% of the people nowadays are listening to radio, not on their car radio. Or if they are on their car radio, they're still listening over what? Their smartphone. And so prophecyhour.com is very smartphone friendly, and it has players over there too if you don't want to leave it. But you go to the End Time Radio Archives, share those with at least two or three other people if you wish to help this ministry. That's the best way to get our ministry out there to other people, is share the radio programs. If you find them interesting, other people will find them interesting also. Anyway, we'll have a prayer and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Father, there's so much going on out there. I just pray that you give us the strength and the wisdom to have the right words tonight to say, so it will help the people. So we want everything to go according to your will and not my will, and not necessarily our guest's will, but your will, Father. So please also give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth in your son's mighty name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. Well, is America Mystery Babylon? A lot of people seem to think so. Is there a warning out there to flee America? What role does Islam have in the end times, as any? These are all questions we've answered many times over this radio program. But tonight, the author of the book, The End of America, seems to think he has an answer. The role of Islam in the end times and the biblical warnings to flee America, that's the subtitle of the book. He contends that, yes, America is indeed Mystery Babylon, or in fact, he has left America because of this. So he doesn't just walk or talk the talk, he walks the walk. His book clearly shows Islam has a huge role in the end times. The book does very accurately put forward this evidence. Tonight, he is back on with me to talk about the progression of the end of America. So let's just welcome him on. Welcome John Price. Are you there with me, John?
Yes, Pastor. How are you doing this evening?
Well, you're coming in pretty good because you're on Skype, and so about half of my guests, or a third, something like that, are on Skype, and you're always much louder and more clear, so I appreciate that.
Well, anyway, I appreciate the sound of the chauffeur that you started the program with. That's very appropriate.
Well, people do need to read your book, and they need to check your website out. We might as well tell them. You might as well tell them where that website is right now, anyway.
Yes, it's www.endofamericabook.com. endofamericabook.com.
Okay. Just for the record, before we get into everything, there's something I added to my notes. Did you hear what Obama said today, taunting Congress, perchance?
No.
Let me read this. I kind of didn't figure you had. I'm a news hound. So let me read this. This is so Blanton. I think that, and you'll probably want to open up and talk about some of this. Anyway, it's real short, but this is what he said. He said, Obama argued that he's merely expanded his authorities and not broken any laws. What we've done is expanded my authorities under executive action and prosecutorial discretion as far as we can legally do under the existing statute, the existing law. So now the question is, how can we get a law passed? But he goes on to say, so in short term, if Mr. McConnell, the leader of the Senate and the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, want to have a vote on whether what I'm doing is legal or not, they can have that vote. And I'll veto that vote because I'm absolutely confident that what we're doing is the right thing to do. And he called the political process that needs to be done by making laws a separate track. In the meantime, he says, we're going to go ahead and do everything we can to make sure that we implement executive actions as we've discussed, indeed do these shortcuts. What do you think about that?
Did you actually quote him as saying he would veto the vote that would attack his violation of his executive authority?
Absolutely, that's what I read.
Whoa.
And that's what he said.
Well, that's pretty good. And that the political process is, quote, a separate track?
Yep, separate track. Oh.
Well, it wasn't very long ago, about 6 months ago, that the president had three different instances in which he said that he had a pen and a phone. He said it in a radio broadcast, and he told a group of congressional people who came into him, and he said it in a speech. In all three of those instances, what he essentially was saying was, I am going to take over the authority which has not been granted to me under the Constitution to do what I think I need to do. Now, Pastor, since that period of time, of course he's done it, by creating executive amnesty, he did it. And with this kind of a statement today, you have to shake your head after a while. But let me make this point. It is not my purpose, nor do I think it's yours, to criticize President Obama. And some of your listeners might say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? What kind of guest is this? The Bible tells us that God raises up all those who are in authority. And before people turn their dial, let me just say this. I think that President Obama is the perfect president. You're going to say, wait a minute, why is he the perfect president? I think he's the perfect president, and there's a post on this on our website people can read. He's perfect because America's time of judgment has arrived. It arrived a few years ago, not too many, maybe about 6 years ago. And we know that because we have placed over us in authority a man who has no background. We don't know anything about his college days. We don't really know anything about him except that he served for 2 years in the Illinois State Senate. Before that, he was a community organizer, whatever that means. And before that, we know nothing, except he lived in Hawaii. And so what this eventually leads us to conclude is that if you were God and you had a country that you had created and blessed like crazy and given them everything, made them the richest country in the world, the most powerful, influential country in the world, and that same country, not too many years ago, said, you know what? We don't want you in our schools. We don't want you in our homes. We don't want you now in our churches. Would you please leave us alone? And by the way, you can't be mentioned on the public airwaves. And any mention of the Ten Commandments in a courthouse, we got to get rid of that. After a while, if you were a holy God who had created all these things and given all these things and been totally rebuffed and asked to go away, eventually you would say, okay, I hear you. I will, but in the process, I'm going to keep my word of what happens to an unrighteous nation, and I'm going to give you the perfect president, a man who was raised in a Muslim school, a man who was trained in Hawaii by a card-carrying member of the Communist Party, a man who has let us say this, less than an exemplary background, and who has very unusual ideas about America, a man because of some of his family relations who have reason to hate America because of the so-called colonial aspirations of Great Britain and America. And you would place that person in authority and then make sure he got reelected. And then in his second term, I wrote a book called Second Term because I kind of saw what was happening here. In his second term, you would begin to let his true nature come out. And the true nature, of course, in many ways, was stated 5 days before the first election when he said, a new day has come upon us, and we are about in 5 days to fundamentally transform America. So that's the process that's going on. Now, Pastor, let's look at this from a prophetic viewpoint. I know we're going to talk about the coming destruction of America, which is where all this ends up. And in the interim, before America is destroyed, certain things will happen. Scripture tells us there'll be violence in the land, that the land will tremble and have sorrow, that the residents will roar like lions and growl like lion cubs, that there will be strangers who'll come into the sanctuary, and the blood of the saints will be spilt. Now, let's look at how each one of these things quickly has been fulfilled. Violence in the land, look at Missouri, what happened there and what's, I think, going to be boiling up again soon. Yeah. The lion cubs growling and the lions roaring. We're going to see more and more of that as people in this country, really kind of on both sides of the spectrum, are totally dissatisfied with what they're seeing. And some people who are on maybe on the right side of the spectrum, once they fully realize that their guns are about to be taken from them, for example, that's going to lead to trouble. Strangers in the sanctuary, the Internal Revenue Service announced 4 months ago that they had settled a lawsuit brought against them by a group of atheists. Because the lawsuit said, IRS, you are not doing your job. You need to go into these churches and monitor them and make sure they're not saying things from the pulpit that are considered to be inappropriate under the law. And so they settled the lawsuit. And the way they settled it was to say, okay, we agree. We are going to put undercover agents in America's churches. We are going to monitor what's being said so we can make sure that nothing is said from the pulpit that we don't like. Now think about that for a minute. And then lastly, the blood of the saints being spilled. That hasn't happened yet, thankfully. But I think your listeners, need to know that something important is coming very, very soon, in 3 months. Before June the 30th, the 9 justices of the United States Supreme Court have announced that they're going to hand down a decision on the same-sex marriage case. Everybody in Washington, D.C. who knows, and I think that's most of them, know that that decision is going to say that under the Constitution of the United States that same-sex marriage is legal, and that anybody, any state, any group, any company that tries to interfere with same-sex marriage is violating the Constitution and the law. There was a florist in Washington State recently who found out that if a gay couple came in and asked for flowers for a gay wedding, even though she knew one of them and liked them and said, no, I can't do that because I'm a Christian and I don't believe in gay marriage, that she was sued by the state of Washington. And the judge, upon getting the case, didn't even allow it to go to trial. He granted summary judgment and said, you are wrong, lady. And all of your assets of yourself personally and your business are on the line.
Right.
So that's where we're headed. And the reason I bring all this up, Pastor, is these are things that prophecy tells us must happen inside America, America the Babylon, before its final destruction. And in a minute, I know you want to talk about how it's destroyed, but...
Okay, let me.
Those are things that are going to happen.
Let me touch on a couple of points. Number one, you mentioned the coming down about guns. Well, right now we're hearing Obama's going to use executive action, as he puts it, to go against AR-15 ammunition. That looks like that's coming really soon. It's all over the news. Yeah, amen. And then, you know, they have been already testing the ground about churches with that church with in Houston, Texas, as you probably remember or know about, heard the news about the subpoenas over the pastor's preacher or pastor's speeches, or not speeches, but, you know, sermons. And I tend to call them speeches because sermons seem to be more religious in nature. And I don't know what they're preaching nowadays, but I do know the church set them up for it, themselves up for it, by making them 501(c) corporations, because they're a corporation. And so, therefore, they're really not, the legal term of church is not being used. And if you folks want to look this up on the internet, there's a difference between a corporation and a church. Church is what we are. Messiah's Branch is a church. We're not a corporation. But what the most every church nowadays is a 501(c) corporation. And John, who's in charge of a corporation? Isn't that the state that's in charge?
Well, yes, of course. When I was an attorney, I refused to incorporate people who would come to me and say they were starting a new church. And I would also advise them, do not apply for a 501(c)(3) designation. Because, first of all, under the Internal Revenue Code, legitimate churches don't have to apply. They automatically can deduct. People who are in the church can automatically deduct their contributions. Lester Summerall, you remember Lester Summerall? Lester Summerall, down in Texas, unfortunately incorporated a church ministry to help disadvantaged youth. And, of course, some of the liberals didn't like it, so they sued him and they took him to court. The very first question when he got on the stand is, what is the name of your organization? And he gave the name with incorporated at the end. And they said, well, the state created you, didn't they? And he said, well, no, we don't look at it that way. We thank God. And he said, no. The corporation. Who created the corporation? And then they handed him the certificate of incorporation showing that the state of Texas did it. At which point he lost the rest of the case, because the point of the state was, hey, we made you, we'll tell you what to do. So your point is well taken.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, so who, Christ is supposed to be head of the church. And so if the state's ahead of the church, how can it be a church? Folks, you need to think about that. And I'm not telling you to run out of your church or your 501(c), but you should be talking to your pastor about these things. Because, John, don't you think these things really are starting to matter and people need to get in the right place?
Yeah, and let me step back for a second and tie in what you just said to something I said a minute ago. On June 30th, when the Supreme Court hands down the same-sex marriage decision, it's not just a little legal decision and it'll make some Christians mad and then we'll move on and there'll be some of the pastors that'll say, oh, let's embrace homosexuals. It's not going to be a simple little result. Once that happens, once that's handed down, the homosexual agenda, they've already made this clear in their writings and in their speeches, the homosexual agenda is to then take that decision, which will have the force of law as a Supreme Court decision, and use it against Christians and churches and ministry organizations around the country like a sledgehammer. And that, I don't think there's any question that they will come to you. And they'll say, they'll have somebody knock on the door and say, hi, I'm Fred, I'd like to be employed here. And whether you, and let's assume you don't need him, but you say, no, I'm sorry, we don't need you. But he's a homosexual. And so he's going to file a lawsuit. Or more likely, I mean, that's likely, but just as likely, you're going to have somebody knock on your door and say, hi, we're Steve and Eve, or that won't work. We're Steve and Fred. And we want to be married here in your church here in Kansas. And you're going to say, well, I'm sorry, but I don't think I can do that. And, you know, well, I'll pray for you. It won't be 5 minutes before they meet with their lawyers and get a lawsuit against Messiah's Branch and all the other churches in America who turn them down. Because believe me, they are ready to go. They're ready to go in the churches and ask to be married. And once they're turned down, the lawsuits will be filed. And in the court, it'll be a summary judgment. It'll be handed down immediately because of the Supreme Court decision. And they're going to say, well, you can't discriminate. You must, Pastor Dan, marry Steve and Fred in your church. And you're going to continue to say, no, I'm not going to do it. At which point, if you refuse to do it, which you will, the court will hold you in contempt. Once you are held in contempt, the only way to expunge the contempt and get out of jail is to say, okay, I agree, I'll do it. And you'd never do that. So do you see what's coming down the road?
Well, absolutely. I absolutely agree to you, with you that I believe the corporation churches are in trouble. I believe that they will really try to force their hand against us. But, you know, because we've already tested the ground and did some checking, they're going to, let's just say, they're going to have a harder time to do it if you're not a corporation, because there's certain things that are allowed to you under that are still there. Under the existence of being just a church, that you can do. Sure, it's coming, and sure, they're going to try and pick on me. And you know what? I'm going to do what the Father tells me to do, and of course, I'm not going to bow to them. But let's stop for a second. I think that they will attack the mainstream churches immediately. You know,
why would they? Because a lot of those mainstream churches are their buddies.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm sorry.
It's well, you know what? It's actually, let's go back. Let's go with this. Well, we say the country says that, you say that the country got what they deserved. I totally agree with you. In fact, I believe this president is very prophetic. We had to have a president that would not want to be friends with Israel. So at one point, Israel would have to stand alone in order to rely on God the Father. You know, instead of relying on America. I believe that. I believe that the things that are happening, it has to happen because of a president of this type. But let's say this about the church. These folks out there that have accepted the state as the head of their church instead of Christ in the church, they are also going to get what they deserve with this marriage law in that sense. They should have, if they would have stood up and use their voice, we wouldn't have same-sex marriage right now. If they would have stood up and used their voice, we wouldn't have had prayer taken out of the school. If they would have used their voice, the Ten Commandments would still be posted all over. What do you think? We only got about a minute for break, so maybe we ought to just give your website again, and then we'll come back and talk about
it. Okay. www.endofamericabook.com. Endofamericabook.com.
And in brief, you got a second book? What did you call that? Second term?
Well, that's the nonfiction book, which analyzes Scripture. But then I wrote three novels based on that book called Second Term, The Warning, and The Day. All four of those books are available on Amazon. You can buy them in softback or you can buy them in Kindle. And the reason I wrote the novels is so that people would read those and say, wait a minute, I need to read the nonfiction book and see what God says in His Word is coming to America. That's why it's right. Called The End of America.
Okay. Well, I wasn't aware of those books. Folks have to check them out, but go to theendofamerica.com, book.com. But wherever you're listening to this, there's radio program archives. After it goes non-live, there will be a link to this website. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor people that come from all over the city looking for help, looking for things like Bibles, looking for food, looking for clothing. They come to us because we're not an agency. We are a church, as I was saying in the program earlier. We're a church. We're something organized by the Father and not organized by the state. We don't have any set guidelines. We're led by the Spirit. Somebody comes in and asks for something. If we have that particular thing, we'll give it to them. If not, we pray about filling the need, and we pray it in. So that's what we do. So support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. And no, we don't get any help from any organized churches or 501(c)(3)s or government agencies. It's only people like you that have supported us for now almost, well, in June, it'll be our 15th year, that you make this mission church work. So again, why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. And they're treated as family. And second, beyond that, again, we have no set guidelines. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need, then we pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. Folks, we are responsible to care one for another as we are our brother's keepers. And you know what? The Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. But, folks, please pray about it, because we do need your support, because the poor people that we help can't supply the need to keep the mission church open. We're in need, especially of over-the-counter medicines and things like that. We need everything. It's wintertime. They need what you need in the wintertime. So pray about it. And we also need donations for food and to help keep the lights on. So pray about it. And also, if you enjoy these radio programs, because we don't bring in any wages for anything, we need your help to pay radio airtime, because radio airtime is not free. Anyway, we're now, you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com or call me at 620-878-4682. It seems like I'm getting ahead of myself today, so we better get our guest back on there. He wrote a book, and the book is called The End of America, The Role of Islam in the End Times, and the Biblical Warnings to Flee America. His name is John Price, and are you still with me, John?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Well, I'm glad to have you on. Let's see, didn't I ask a question or said something just before we left, and I didn't wait for your response. We ran out of time.
Well, you did ask again for the website, and I'd like to correct one little thing. There's no V in the name. It's just www.endofamericabook.com.
Okay.
And the other thing, by the way, that happened today that I think your listeners need to know about, because it bears on everything you and I have talked about in the last half hour, the Federal Communications Commission adopted a 232-page set of regulations which will take the Internet, which right today is just a private, what would you call the Internet? A private collection of wires and computers and routers and servers that the government really doesn't have anything to say about. And as of today, they now are regulating the Internet. They've redefined the Internet as a public utility. They're basing it on what happened in 1930 when the federal government said telephones need to be regulated. So think about that. We have a law that is, how old would that be, 85 years old.
Right.
That they're now going to impose, and the purpose of that is to make sure that people like you and Rick Wiles on True News and Steve Quayle, all the other people around the country, Dave Hodges and so forth, who have alternative media usage of the Internet, are now going to have to meet the public interest.
Right.
And it won't take too long before some bureaucrat is going to knock on your door and the doors of a lot of people and say, you know what, we have taped you over the last 2 weeks, and I'm sorry, but your program just doesn't meet the public interest, so you're not going to be able to use the Internet anymore. Now, that may sound like scare talk, but otherwise, why would you change the law to regulate something that doesn't need to be regulated?
Let me jump in here for a second. Number one, folks, they did this under the law of the same thing they do with broadcast TVs. And so if you think they can't control you, don't. I mean, here is the same people that tell you, you know, what you can put on TV. Well, look at what's on the Internet, and if it's the same law, then those same regulations that go for the TV, this is the same regulation that they're using. So they're going to be, legally they can do it. Until somebody, right now, this as of this second, I guess they can do it. But the law has been shot down, John. This has been shot down twice before in the federal courts.
In the past.
That doesn't
mean. But not exactly this law, but a similar law.
Right. But my point is since that time, it just depends on what federal judge they get it in front of. You know what I mean?
Sure. Of course.
And so it's coming. Of course they want to shut the Internet down. They can't stand, the liberals can't stand about how many times that, you know, it's like they forget that things can be recorded on cell phones, you know, because they'll catch Obama and all the rest of them saying different things, and they'll be posted over and over on the Internet, and they don't like that. They want to shut that up, and they've just gotten the way to do it. And with what the president said about Congress, these next 2 years are going to be really interesting to see.
Well, the one thing I'd like to add to what you just said, they will not shut the Internet down for one reason. 50% of all Internet traffic is pornography. And they like that. I mean, that helps destroy people in the country and helps destroy the fiber of the nation. They're not going to touch that. I mean, they should be doing that. They should be going out there right now and indicting people who put pornography online and so forth. But they won't mess with that. What they need to do is to shut down the people in the air who are telling the truth to people like you are, because you are a danger to their future control of the country. And I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. And but by the way, I think, let me just interject since we only have about 15 minutes.
We got about 20. Go ahead.
Okay. We've talked in this program so far about all the problems in America. Those problems could have all been avoided if we had followed 2 Chronicles 7:14 several years ago and humbled ourselves and prayed and sought God's face and turned from our wicked ways, because he promises he would hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. Well, that didn't happen. A lot of people called on people to repent. In 1976, I wrote a book called America at the Crossroads, along with a lot of other people in the country who called on people to repent and turn from our wicked ways. And, of course, since then, it's gotten really bad. When I wrote the book, there had only been about 300,000, 400,000 children aborted in the womb, and today it's 56 million. So there comes a day of reckoning. History tells us that. The Bible tells us that. Our lives tell us that. There always comes a day of reckoning. And that leads me to want to bring up, if you don't mind, the underlying theme of the End of America book, which essentially is taking 232 verses in Scripture, all of which describe Mystery Babylon, a rich, powerful, influential end times country, and tells us that these things we talked about a minute ago will happen, violence in the land and so forth, but that the final destruction of the country, as you mentioned a moment ago, will be when that country betrays Israel, when it stabs Israel in the back. And the stage is being set daily for America to do that, because we have Susan Rice, the domestic policy advisor, yesterday saying that it was harmful and really hurtful to American relations with Israel that the prime minister has accepted the opportunity to speak on March the 3rd before the U.S. House. And the president, who is refusing to meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu when he comes, and now several members of Congress, who are saying that they will not be present to hear the leader of our biggest ally in the Middle East. Think about that. The stage is being set for us to betray Israel. And when we do, Pastor, as you know from Scripture, we're done. We're over. It's completed, right. Which is why I believe, because God knew all in advance this was all going to happen, why he gave 10 different warnings, 7 to Christians and 3 to Jewish residents, to flee from Babylon, run for your lives, flee out of Babylon, leave the land of the Babylonians, come out of her, my people, and so forth. Don't participate in her sins. Don't share in her plagues. Those warnings are addressed not to non-Christians, but are in fact addressed to Christians and Jewish Americans. And since God knows in advance all these things are going to happen, he doesn't want them to die needless deaths if they can escape and get out of the country.
Right.
And so then that then leads to a question which I get a lot, which is, okay, I agree with that. I've read Scripture. I think it's going to happen. I think I really need to go, but I don't want to go too soon. Now, there are some of us who say, well, what is too soon? Because there's a big wide world out there that can use the gospel, so let's start now. But it is a good question. The disciples said to Jesus in Matthew 24, when he told them everything was going to happen, they said, when will these things be? They didn't ask who's going to do it, but they said, when will these things be? So let's talk about timing for a second.
Okay.
The Scriptures tell us that these things will happen when we betray Israel. It also tells us that the betrayal will come, as Ezekiel 38 and 39 say, when Russia and Persia, which is Iran today, and Libya and the other Muslim countries, which weren't Muslim at the time the Bible were written, but they sure are today, when those countries invade Israel, they will cry out to us. And there's one really sad verse in Scripture where Israel is saying, we cried out for you, we looked for you, we stood on the parapets looking for you, and you never came to help us. And so, for a person who likes to time things, the destruction of America will not happen until there's a peace treaty. Now, how quickly will there be a peace treaty? Well, this is pretty important. On March the 17th of this year, the Israeli people will go to the polls, and they will vote for their individual members of the Knesset. And then once the votes are counted, they'll see who can assemble a working majority. It's a parliamentary system. So who can assemble a working majority of the members of the Knesset? And if it's not Netanyahu, if he, quote, loses, unquote, then there'll be a new prime minister. Now, why is that important? Because the new prime minister, the people who are already putting their name out, hoping they'll win if Netanyahu can't assemble a governing coalition, have already said, we are for a two-state solution, we are for giving up the land, we are for signing a peace agreement. Now, the president has 12 people in Jerusalem right now, and in Tel Aviv right now, who are working to make sure that Netanyahu loses on the 17th. And I mean, think about that for a minute. They're our biggest ally in the world, in that part of the world, and America is trying to defeat the leader of that country. Well, if they succeed, then there'll be a pretty quick peace agreement. I would suspect it to happen way before the end of the year. And then the clock starts. How soon will it be after that before Russia and Iran and the others decide to invade? Could be the very next day, probably not very likely. It might be a month, could be a year, might be 10 years. I don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us how long it'll be. But once the peace treaty is signed, the clock starts. I have a son who's read all my books who said, Dad, when I see the ink drying on the peace agreement, I'm going to get down my suitcase out of the closet. And I think that's a legitimate thing for people to think about, especially since they know that the Bible says that that country will ultimately be destroyed.
Let's touch on a couple of things. I don't know if you've been watching, but I read in the news a lot every day. I mean, hours every day. And I've been tracking. Have you noticed Russia lately, how aggressive they become and overflying? Okay. All the different territories around the world. And, folks, we're not just talking about American territories. We're talking about the Ukraine had to send up planes to chase them off. And they're getting more and more aggressive. Putin is coming straight out and saying, I cannot be defeated by anybody in the world, and flexing nuclear muscles. In fact, the other day they had one of those parades. And you remember the Hillary Clinton reset button?
Huh.
Well, they had a reset button, but it wasn't a reset button. It was a button that said, this is for Obama. And it was simulating shooting off a nuclear missile at Obama. Mm-hmm. And so they are blatantly saying they can do it. They believe they can win a war, a nuclear war, and still come out on top of it. Because personally, I believe they can, because I don't think that we even have a president that would fire back. You know what I'm saying?
Let's look at what prophecy says about the daughter of Babylon, following up on your point. The two nations that are specifically identified in prophecy that God will use as his hammers on the daughter of Babylon to destroy it after it betrays Israel are Russia and Persia, which is Iran today. So the United States has dithered and dithered and dithered for the last 6 years and not stopped Iran from developing nuclear weapons. There are some people who think they have them or they've purchased them from Pakistan in any case. But since Scripture and the prophecy tells us that someday Iran and Russia, which already, of course, has a lot of nuclear weapons, will destroy America in one day, 1 hour, and one moment, which can only occur with nuclear weapons. You can't destroy an entire country in one moment unless you have nuclear weapons.
Right.
We are facilitating, Pastor, the very enemies, Russia by angering them and Iran by allowing them to get the weapons, that God says in his word he's going to use to destroy us. Now, you have to be blinded if you're a national leader such as our president, to not realize that Iran is not just a danger to Israel, even though it's a dire danger to Israel, but God is going to protect Israel. We don't need to worry about Israel. God will protect them because he promises he will. But what about our country? Well, Scripture says that's who he's going to use to destroy us. So it's folly. Is that a good word, folly? It's folly, stupidity, insanity to say to Iran, well, if you need the cyclotrons to spin out fissile material for nuclear weapons, oh, wait a minute, nuclear power, then go ahead, because we know you need power. Well, they've got so much oil, they don't need nuclear power, and they're not going to use it for that anyway. So this is a dangerous situation that we face. And unfortunately, and I say this with love in my heart, a lot of pastors and other Christian leaders in America who have the same Bible I do, when they come to things like we're talking about, skip over it and decide they're going to talk about your best life now and your purpose-driven life and you should feel better about yourself and et cetera. And someday the people who are sitting in their congregations, when it all comes apart and it's all destroyed, are going to say, why was I misled by my shepherd?
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly believe that when a lot of these folks that are sitting around thinking that, well, it doesn't matter, and the pastor is probably, a lot of them thinking, well, we don't have to preach that stuff because we're all going to be flown out of here before it happens. When they're not flown out, I think that there will be such anger that I think some pastors are going to be in peril for their life. I mean, I think some people would literally hang them from the pulpit, so to speak. I say that with love. I want to wake them up.
That's only if the government doesn't get to them first.
If there's any left. Well, but there will be some left. It'll be all the guys that just turns it into, what would you call it if it wasn't a house of God? If it becomes completely government compliant, what would you call it? I mean, what would it be?
It like the churches in Germany who hung the swastika on the front of their church and on their pulpits.
Yeah,
They wanted to get along to go along. And when the government said, we want you to put the swastika, they said, Sieg Heil. When our government will say, and it's not very far away, to churches in America, we want you to marry same-sex marriage people in your church, otherwise we're going to imprison your pastor, there'll be a lot of pastors who will say, well, of course, if that's the law, then that's what we'll do, because we want to get along to go along.
Right.
That's going to be tragic, but it's coming.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we go back to that. So, you know, I think that we're facing two different things. I think there's a lot of people that are in condition that could possibly flee America. And I think that if you're planning on it, if you feel like you're led to, it's actually the sooner that you can get, and you have some great things at your website. I want to get that in too, folks, to go over there and look. But if you can leave, I would leave sooner rather than later. But what about the people that, you know, what do you think, John, about the people that, you know, I deal with a lot of poor people. Clearly, unless these people just migrate over the border, there's no way they can leave America. What do you think about that?
I understand that there are significant hardship cases, particularly people who are physically disabled, but that doesn't mean their family couldn't pay to transport them. But the people that I am shake my head at, but the ones who really could go if they wanted to. For example, you can live in Ecuador cheaper. You can live in Ecuador for about a fourth to a third of what it would cost to live in the United States. You can grow your own vegetables. There are all kinds of ways to survive in the world. But let's face it, it's not comfortable to move. I didn't like it when I moved. You have to get rid of your stuff. You have to pay to have your stuff moved. You have to deal with customs agents. It's not easy, but once you get it done, then it's done. But let's look back at Germany again for a second. Of the 6 million Jews who lived in Germany in the early 1930s, and they began to read about this crazy guy Hitler, many of them, recognizing the danger that was coming, said, we are not going to stay in Germany because he's going to kill us. So 500,000 is the actual count of the number of the 6 million who left. Those who left very early, of course, took all their stuff. Those who left later were able to get across the border before Hitler closed the borders, but they only did so with either a few jewels or some coins sewn into the hems of their clothes, because Hitler said you couldn't leave with more than 10 marks. Now, when they got out of the country, they didn't have a lot, but they didn't starve. Wherever they ended up settling in the world, God provided for them. He feeds the sparrows. He can feed us. And so for a person today to say, well, I just can't afford to do it, let's look at it a different way. Let's say you're on the U.S. Titanic, and the guy comes and knocks on your door and says, you got to get off of this ship because it's sinking. And you say, you know, I just can't afford to do it. Now, that would be a nonsensical reaction.
Yeah, I can't afford to get in a lifeboat, but it's paramount to the same thing. Just because we only got a short period of time, let me ask you another question. What would you say now? Some people listen to, you know, are listening to us or whatever, but there's so many people in this country that don't get the message. Do you think God the Father will send some kind of a wake up message for warning or figure they've had the Bible, they've had it long enough? What do you think?
The answer to your question is yes. I believe that he will make the message that you and I are talking about right now much more obvious and apparent, and on a national level, maybe even from Washington, D.C., and I believe it'll happen in the next 2 years. That's about all I can say about that. But I think it'll happen. I think it'll happen because God says in his word, before I send disaster, I send warning. And you're right, not enough people know yet, but the warning's coming.
Amen. I agree that warning will come, and I have an inside track on a couple of people that are planning on doing something like that. Well, John, it was really good to have you back on, and so tell them what can they. There's a lot of good stuff at your website. Tell them a couple of the articles that you have to aid them with what we're talking about.
Well, one article is How Do You Survive Financially? And it gives some advice on how to make money in a foreign country and how to make money on the Internet in a foreign country, that sort of thing. Another one is the Babylon article that relates to the USS Titanic we mentioned a moment ago. Another is called Flee, Seven Compelling Reasons for Leaving the United States, which I would recommend to people who are still kind of on the fence and trying to decide, because it covers what Scripture says about why you need to go. But for people who are saying, and I really find trouble with this in a way, who are saying, well, I think once we get past the next election, everything's going to be great and we're going to take back over the country and blah, blah, blah. I think they need to know that the game is over. It's too late. It's Ichabod. Spirit has departed. Yeah. It's judgment time. And it's not going to come back because we vote ourselves back in. It's going to come about if we do have a revival because of spiritual revival. It's not going to come about because we are smart political figures. I tried that. That does not work.
Yeah,
the only way to heal the country is spiritually.
With all of the immigrants that are in here and the ones that are coming in, even the legitimate ones that they're calling refugees, the Muslims, within 10 years, we're going to be the biggest Muslim country in the world. That's a fact, statistically. Anyway, I got to go, John. Give them your website and say goodbye, brother.
www.endofamericabook.com. Thank you, Pastor. You're a great man of God. Keep spreading the word.
All right. We'll do it again. Bye-bye. Be blessed.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Folks, really, pray about the Wichita Mission Church. We do really need your help. Only a small percent of you folks out there that listen to radio do, in fact, donate. Remember, there is only one God, though. That God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. There aren't all these different ways. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second one is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florida.
Lawrence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.